gosh, I just remember sitting in the Chilkat Center and waiting for when the lights would go down and sense of, oh, this is the best place to be possible right now in this moment.
A Haines-raised actress is co-starring in a Capital City production, and the Skagway garage sale might be bigger than usual this year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more just ahead. New state standards for cruise ship wastewater discharges may end up in court. It's one more battle stemming from the cruise ship initiative, which also created the passenger head tax. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Department of Environmental Conservation recently issued a new permit governing the next three cruise ship seasons. It covers treated sewage as well as sink and shower water. Gershon Cohen of the Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters says the standards are not strong enough.
They're saying to each discharger, whatever system you have on your ship, that's the one that's okay with us, and do the best job you can with that. And that's just simply not what the law says.
He says he's ready to sue to force stronger requirements. First, he'll have to go through an administrative hearing. State officials say the permit provides, quote, a very high degree of protection of our waters. Program manager Denise Koch says the new standards require ships to pollute less while in port.
Some ships will be able to meet kind of the stricter stationary limits, even for ammonia, copper, nickel, and zinc. And some of the ships that will not be able to meet those stricter standards will need to discharge when they're underway, when they're moving between ports of call.
The industry objected to an earlier version of the permit's requirements. Alaska Cruise Association President John Binkley says what's required in the final permit is probably workable.
We were pleased that DEC took to heart some of the public comments, and generally more pleased with the final permit than the draft permit. There are still some concerns that some of the ships have, but generally I think we're pleased with it.
Strict discharge limits are required by the Cruise Ship Initiative, approved by voters in 2006. A legislative compromise last year delayed enforcement while the state and cruise lines identify more effective equipment with help from a panel of scientists. Cohen says the law still requires wastewater to meet the highest standards possible.
That means that if a ship in the fleet is able to reach a certain level of performance for, say, copper or ammonia or something, then all the other ships in the fleet would have to match that performance if that was the best performance. And they might not have to use the same equipment, but they had to at least match that level of performance.
He says ships using a system called reverse osmosis discharge cleaner wastewater, and ships without that system should start using at least some of its elements. Koch agrees that reverse osmosis appears to improve pollution levels, but she says more study is needed before requiring cruise lines to install new equipment.
We felt that it was premature at this point in time with this smaller data set, and we really wanted the science panel and some of their findings play out a little bit more before we made that sort of conclusion.
Cohen was named to that science panel, then removed due to industry objections. It's met once and will continue its work for several years. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Spring street sweeping continues in Skagway this week. Public works started Monday and are done with all avenues between state and Alaska. Crews will continue street sweeping through early May, with Main Street on Thursday, April 29th, then 8th Avenue and all avenues between state and Spring. Broadway and the surrounding area will be swept between Monday, April 26th and May 7th in the early morning. During those weeks, it's helpful to work crews to have cars parked off the roads if possible, or residents can move cars when they notice the sweeper in the area. The sweep schedule is subject to change, but Skagway Public Works is available for questions at 983-2449. A Haines woman is playing a leading role at the Capital City's Perseverance Theater through next month. Clara Wison, who grew up and was homeschooled out the road in Haines, plays Hansel in the theater's season-closing musical, Hansel and Gretel. Wison attended University of Alaska Southeast and Portland State University. This is her first performance at Perseverance. She's directing her first opera this summer, and this is the 26-year-old's first role as a lost little boy.
It has been a challenge for sure. I think playing a role that is not your own gender, and it's different. I think the age difference, though, is ultimately more challenging, because I think once you capture the sort of the energetic quality of a youthful character, that the gender at that point doesn't necessarily need to matter quite as much. But we figured that Hansel's about 11 years old, sort of remember, oh, yeah, I remember what that was like, where you could, you know, be laughing with someone one moment and hit them the next and then be laughing again in another moment. I think the freedom and kind of lack of inhibitions of being a kid, that was stuff I thought about quite a bit, but also just the physicality of it. So it's a very, very physical show. Lots of dancing, singing, fighting, falling, jumping.
Wysan represents Haynes among a cast and crew from all over the world. A set designer from Japan, a costume assistant from Switzerland, another from Romania, and a cast member and a director from Norway. But there are plenty of other Alaskans in the production, too.
The young lady playing Gretel, her name's Kitty Poor, and she's graduating from Juneau Douglas High School this year. She's 17. And then Chris Murray, his fellow in Juneau, is playing the father, and Patricia Hall is playing the mom. And there's another lady named Christina Apathy who's playing the Doof Fairy and Sandman, which are two kind of magical characters that the children meet when they run off into the forest. The Sandman puts them to sleep, and the Doof Fairy wakes them up the next morning. So Christina plays those two parts really beautifully. Just also one important piece of it is the music is composed by a local Alaskan fellow, and that it is a musical piece. Bob Banghart, and he's one of the founding people behind the Folk Fest. And he's a folk musician. He's also the curator of the State Museum now. So he wrote the music, and then Rob Cohen orchestrated and created the score.
Wysan says growing up in rural Alaska may have something to do with her interest and success as an actress. She and her friends spent a lot of time using their creativity and imagination growing up 40 miles away from the nearest theater, which was and still is the Chilkat Center for the Arts.
Gosh, I just remember being absolutely thrilled when there was something going on in Haynes, some performance, the Chilkat Center, and working on, you know, talking with my parents and figuring out if we could get into town and planning these trips to go through, you know, whatever snowstorm that we were having at the time and saying, come on, we've got to go see the show, you know. Sitting in the Chilkat Center and waiting for when the lights would go down and sense of, oh, this is the best place to be possible right now in this moment. And it just sort of growing up out here, I think maybe when you grow up somewhere that's so remote and rural that either you have to create your own play way of imagining and creating things around you, otherwise there isn't anything.
The story is a quirky, maybe even twisted version of Grimm's fairy tale we all grew up with, but it's still meant to appeal to all ages.
There are many children that are watching, too, so we have this great youthful interaction going on. In the last show we did, there was lots of giggling and commenting and people, you know, little people getting scared and excited about what was happening on stage, so it's definitely for all ages, which is really great, but I think it should also appeal to more mature audiences because we're really working on the depth of the story as well.
Director Henning Hegland said in a Juno Empire article that there's definitely a lot in the play from everybody's childhood, whenever and wherever that is, said Hegland. He grew up in Norway and recently completed coursework at New York's Columbia University.
I know that the director had the intention of really wanting to create a story that felt very real to audiences, that the fairy tale wouldn't feel sugar-coated, super sweet and Disney at all. So in rehearsals, we really pursued a lot of the logic of why is this character doing this at this moment and how do I want to affect the other character that I'm interacting with. And then in terms of the overall tone of the direction, the artistic director, Art, kept mentioning Tim Burton. So I think there's kind of a darkness and quirkiness and maybe a sense of humor there that we're trying to tap into in terms of design. The set is wonderful, kind of rough, cut sort of wooden, brown, gray, drab world in the first act where the kids are in the house alone. And then it opens up into a forest landscape, and then at the end in the witch's realm, the set sort of explodes into these crazy, bright pinks and purples and candy colors. So I think it will satisfy the desire to go see something really magical, but in terms of the acting and directing style, I think that we're all striving to really tell the story in a very realistic and personal way.
Hansel and Gretel is open now in Juneau and runs through May 30th, Thursday through Sunday nights at 7:30 p.m. Showtimes are at perseverancetheater.org. Again, Haynes raised Clara Wysan as Hansel.
Hansel said at the end that I thought was so triumphant because the journey of the little children in the show is at the end we release a bunch of gingerbread kids that have been turned into gingerbread men by the witch. And so they all come back to life after we conquer the witch. And my character says that, Hansel says, the angels said in a dream they would look after us. let their reward be a stream of children's laughter. And I thought, oh, that's so great, because it's such this great triumphant child victory moment that there is this hope that they had this dream that they would be cared for. And in the end, they do survive against great obstacles, and they triumph. So it's a really great, great moment at the end of the opera.
This spring's garage sale at the Skagway Recreation Center is likely to be an especially good one. The center usually holds two a year, but skipped the fall sale last time around. Donations are accepted during center business hours up until 5 p.m. on Friday. Then the sale is Saturday, May 1st. Staff says they're turning away old computer equipment, undergarments, stained and torn clothes, and items with missing parts or pieces. But music, office supplies, bikes, toys, kitchenware, books, furniture, and decent clothing are great donations. Proceeds go to the rec center, then the leftovers are donated to a charity in Whitehorse. Anyone interested in volunteering to set up or clean up can call the rec center at 983-2679. Skagway's spring garage sale is this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. Listen to KHNS News anytime you want. Just go to khns.org to download past reports.